Let us turn in God's word to the Gospel according to John and to chapter 21. John chapter 21. And we read from the first verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Amen. We close our reading at verse 17 of John chapter 21. Let us turn to that passage in John chapter 21 that we read earlier. The dialogue between the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Peter in John chapter 21 and verses 15 to 17 is a most touching part of Holy Scripture. Do we not empathize with Peter? These are verses that are very reassuring for every true believer in Christ. And before coming to the Lord's table to partake of the Lord's Supper, as we hope to do next Lord's Day, reassurance is something we want to have, a knowledge that the Lord does accept us, that we love him, that he loves us, and he willingly receives us. And this is one passage of Scripture that can help us find such reassurance. Peter, at the beginning of his dialogue with the Lord Jesus, lacked such reassurance. But by the end of it, without doubt, he would have been fully assured that the Lord was with him, that the Lord was for him, that the Lord Jesus had accepted him. But if there's one thing that mars our assurance of salvation, it is sin. And the first thing that we note from this dialogue is that Peter had sinned against Christ. Peter had sinned against Christ. At the Last Supper, Peter had said to Jesus, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And then Jesus responded, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And instead of Peter letting it go at that, he continued. He spoke all the more vehemently, saying, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Peter, as we know, was often hasty, too hasty with his words. That very night, after Jesus was arrested by the Roman authorities and by the Sanhedrin, Peter, under pressure, three times denied that he knew Jesus or that he was even a disciple of Jesus. And after the third denial, we read that the rooster crowed for the second time, and then Peter immediately realized what he had done. He was immediately remorseful. He wept bitterly. He realized what great sin he had committed. After all his bravado and his boasting about never failing to deny Christ, even being prepared to die with him, he had done that very thing he said he wouldn't do three times when the pressure was on. And then Christ had died on the cross, and Peter didn't have opportunity to put things right with his master before then. He was probably both too frightened and too ashamed to go anywhere near the cross to confess his failure and his sin. We can think of the questions and the turmoil Peter would have been in for that period of time when he denied his Savior and the death of Christ. Will God ever forgive me for what I have done? Could God ever forgive me? Peter was in so much turmoil. There would have been so many questions going through his mind. But then, to all the disciples' astonishment, Christ rose from the dead. And then we can surmise how new questions would have arisen in Peter's mind. On the one hand, there was great joy. Christ, our Master, has risen. But then Peter knows what he has done. And he's thinking, on the other hand, well, he has risen, but will I ever see him? And if I do see him, will he ever be able to forgive me? Will he reject me as someone who is no longer worthy to be his disciples? And on two separate occasions, the Lord appeared to his disciples in a room, and he addressed them collectively on both occasions. We can imagine what Peter was thinking as the Lord Jesus was addressing all of the disciples together. What does he really think of me? He said nothing to me, nothing personally to me. Has he rejected me, or is he still including me amongst the others? He did address Thomas personally on the second occasion, but he didn't address Peter personally. And Peter knows about his sin, and he knows that the Lord knows about it, but nothing has been said. Have you ever had an experience similar to Peter's? You knew you had sinned against Christ in some way. Perhaps it was some kind of conduct before the world which was really unchristian. It amounted to a denial of Christ as your Savior, and afterwards you felt ashamed. And maybe you asked, how can God forgive me for that? How can I even say that I'm a Christian? Will Christ ever receive me again? Could something like that have happened even recently? Maybe you feel very uncertain as to the credibility of your profession of faith because of something you said or something you did. And if that is the case, then continuing with the experience of Peter can really help you. And we should look further into this dialogue between the Lord Jesus and Peter. Peter had sinned against Christ. But in this passage in John 21, we see secondly that Peter was forgiven by Christ. Peter was forgiven by Christ. In John chapter 21, we have the third occasion when the Lord Jesus met with his disciples after his resurrection. They were out on the Sea of Galilee. They had fished all night, and they had caught nothing. And by morning, there is this figure that appears in the distance on the shore. The disciples didn't know it was the Lord Jesus. But when he commanded them to cast their net on the other side of the boat, they caught so many fish that they weren't able to draw their net in. And it was John who said, "It is the Lord. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved." That was his immediate conclusion. This is a miracle. On that side of the boat we caught nothing all night, and now we suddenly cast our nets to the other side of the boat, and we've so many fish in this net, it's going to sink the boat and sink us with it if we continue like this. "It is the Lord," John said. When Peter heard it was the Lord, he acted on impulse, again, as was his character. He put on his outer garment and he plunged into the sea, and he either waded or he swam to the shore where Jesus was. As far as the catch of fish was concerned, he left the other disciples to deal with that. His chief priority was to get to Jesus. And when they had all arrived at the shore, Jesus then instructed them to bring some of the fish they had just caught. It was Peter who was the first to jump into action. Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. And before they started eating breakfast, no one dared ask Jesus, "Who are you?" They all knew who he was. When breakfast was over, Jesus then addressed Peter personally. He asked him a question, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" It was a poignant question. Peter had said at the Last Supper, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." In other words, he was saying at that time, "If all of your other disciples stumble, Lord, I will be faithful because I am so devoted to you. I love you with such a deep love." And the reality was that he stumbled in a greater way than the other disciples had done. And notice that Peter doesn't dare to answer, "Yes, Lord, I love you more than these." He simply answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I'm not going to compare myself to anybody else this time. Just simply this, Lord, I do love you. In spite of what I've done, in spite of my great denial, the bottom line is that I do love you as my Lord and my Master and my Savior." And then how embarrassing for Peter that the Lord asked him this same question three times. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" It's a very touching remark in verse 17 where it says that Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Grieved him. "Does the Lord not believe me that I love him?" But this was intentional on the Lord's part. Peter must feel the pain of his sin, the pain of what he's done, to be able to truly repent of that sin. Like a good doctor, the Lord Jesus intended to prick Peter's conscience. And this threefold repetition of the question was also probably meant to remind Peter of his own threefold denial of the Lord. Each time Peter answered, "Lord, you know that I love you," the Lord responded with each answer, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And then again, "Feed my sheep." The Lord didn't say to Peter, "Well, I want to test your love to see if I can believe you love me." Jesus gave Peter a command to serve him. "You love me? Go and tell people about me. Feed my people. Give them the word. Tell them about me. Tell them about what I have done for you, Peter, and what I can do for other people." It was a recommissioning of Peter to once more do the work of an apostle in teaching and in preaching and exhorting. And from that, Peter knew that Jesus had both received him and had forgiven him. What reassurance this must have given Peter. "Even though I denied my master three times, he's willing to recommission me and put me into service for him again." And what reassurance this gives to every sincere believer. If Christ could forgive and receive Peter for denying him three times, would he not forgive and receive you if you have sinned against him? Even if you have sinned against him three times, or even more than three times, with the very same sin. And we must remember that the other disciples weren't exactly innocent either. They'd all abandoned Christ when the pressure was on and left him alone with the Jewish and the Roman authorities. Yet here he is with them all. He had forgiven them all. He had received them all. If Christ could forgive all of these, and especially that he so willingly forgave Peter, he can forgive you. Because Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, deals with you in the same way as he dealt with Peter. Peter was welcomed, along with the other disciples, to that breakfast on the seashore. And Christ welcomes to his table to eat and drink with him all who are forgiven their sins. How was it that Christ could forgive Peter his sins? The answer stands out very clearly in the passage, and it's this we consider thirdly. We've noted that Peter had sinned against Christ. Peter was forgiven by Christ. And then thirdly, Peter loved Christ. Peter loved Christ. Love for Christ was the condition of Peter's forgiveness. A person might be weak, they might be fearful, they may be unstable, they may fail in many things. We all do. But what was important to Christ as far as Peter was concerned was whether or not, deep down in his heart, Peter loved him. And that is what is important to Christ as far as all his people are concerned. There are many people who have no love for Christ, who sin willingly and never even think of their actions as sins at all. And they're not forgiven their sins because they don't belong to Christ. They have no relationship with Christ. That's the major difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The believer shouldn't fall into temptation and sin. And they have no excuse for doing so, even though every believer can and every believer does. But if they are Christ's, their sin will grieve them. Just as we see Peter's sin greatly grieved him when he realized the enormity of it. The believer, when they fall into sin, their conscience will accuse them, because they know they've sinned against their master Christ. That's what Peter knew. That's what caused him to weep. If you love Christ, you will hate sin. And you will hate falling into sin. It will grieve you to do so. And when you confess your sin to Christ from your heart, if you do fall into sin, then Christ will forgive you, because he can see your heart and he knows that you love him. In spite of Peter's terrible sin, he was able to say to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And if you know that you love Christ, then Christ himself also knows that. And he invites all who love him into his presence to fellowship with him and to eat and to drink at his table and to enjoy his company. Preparing your heart for coming to the Lord's table next Sabbath morning, this is the question to ask yourself. Do I love Christ? That's the question he asks of you. Just as he asked it of Peter, do you love me? He's not asking you, do you love me perfectly? He knows you don't. But in spite of all your shortcomings, is the bottom line that you're sorry for them all and that you really do love Christ and desire to honour him, to please him, to be with him. That's what Christ is looking for in his people. Think of it this way. In a family, there can be all kinds of misdemeanors and arguments and offences. Yet it is often the case that family members are able to forgive one another and forget those offences and move on and still love one another. They forget all about what somebody else in that family did to them a week ago. They move on. And if someone from outside the family should hurt one of those family members, the family member who committed an offence against another family member, the other family members will still rise up as one man to defend and protect their loved one. Why is that? Because they love them. In spite of an offence they caused, they still love them and will stand by them. And if that is true of a natural family, how much more it is true of the spiritual family. True believers are part of a spiritual family of which Christ is the head. They are able, they ought to be able to forgive one another, and Christ is able to forgive them because he loves them, and love covers a multitude of sins. Peter had sinned against Christ. Peter was forgiven by Christ. Peter loved Christ. And the proof that Peter loved Christ is that he repented of his sin. Peter never committed this same sin again. He never denied his master again. We didn't read verse 18 of the passage, but in that verse, Christ tells Peter that one day he is going to die for Christ. Now, the death of Peter is not in Scripture, but we know that Peter would have died for Christ. We know that tradition tells us that he was, in fact, crucified in Rome, or maybe just outside Rome. We know it happened. Peter did not deny his Saviour again. And surely this experience taught him so much. I said, I would stand by my Saviour until death. I failed him in that. Now I've got a second chance. Christ is risen. I will not deny my Saviour again. It cost Peter his life. Although the believer might grieve Christ, because of his or her love for Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. But for the unbeliever, that is not the case. And implicit in this passage, there is a word for the unbeliever. If someone isn't a believer, Christ's question to you is not, do you love me? He knows that you don't. His question to you is rather, why do you not love me? And the answer, it's because you love sin more than Christ. And you also know that to love anyone involves commitment and self-denial, and you're not prepared for that. You prefer to put self before Christ. But at the last day, Christ will still be asking that same question. Why did you not love me? Only then it will be too late to love him. There will be a price to pay for not loving Christ. God in the present expects you to love his Son, because in his Son he provides the salvation you need. And without that salvation, all that is left for you is eternal condemnation for your sins. How important to consider Christ. And having considered him, turn to him, confessing your sins, especially your sin of unbelief. How important too to repent of your sins and to love him who is able to forgive you your sins. If you start to love him, he will cleanse you from all your sins, and he will love you, and he will save you from the punishment your sins deserve. For in his love for you, he would then have taken that punishment you deserve upon himself in his death on the cross. What great love that is, that Christ would die to save you. Should you then not love him? Amen.